to which you were called and about which you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You may be seated.
Good morning. Good morning. So many great things are going on at Seven Oaks. We're thankful that you're with us to worship God this morning. Yesterday was a special day for our family as Brooke was baptized into Christ, and so we celebrate and are thankful for that and are thankful for your expressions of love and congratulations as well. Another great thing going on with this church is that this church loves the truth and loves the Word of God, and I want to be sincere when I say that last week I preached on the role of women in the church, a very countercultural lesson from what we hear in our culture. And I want you to know that I did not get a negative feedback, one. I didn't get a bad email disagreeing or a negative comment. And I say that not to say that, boy, it was a great sermon, but to say that I think that says something much about our church family here, that we've been grounded in the truth, and we love the truth, and we have a sincere desire to do what the Bible says. And so I appreciate that about this good church. Now, I hadn't planned on doing the role of men, but Amanda said, you ought to do the role of men. And then you may have noticed that I put this on Facebook. I was going to do it. And I noticed that all the women just started really liking this post, role of men. But I do think it's a good idea to balance out our study at thinking about last week the role of women, but then this week thinking about the role of men. And I want to do this a little different too, in the sense that I'm going to basically follow the same pattern as I did last week, talking about our culture some, and then I'm going to use basically the same passage as we did last week. So instead of looking at passages that we might typically look at for the role of men, I want us to look at what we did last week, 1 Timothy 2, on the role of women. But let's think about how that passage applies to men. And so I hope that this will be a blessing for both our men and women as we think about this topic. First of all, this is a significant issue in the church today as well. I think it's a significant issue, and we're seeing it more prominent. And we can see this in that there's a lack of leadership in the church. I could not confirm these statistics that I heard a few years ago. I got to put a call in. The church in Evansville, Washington Avenue, had done some research, and Alan said he was out of town, and he would get me back the detailed statistics in a few weeks. But they had done some research on the churches in our area of Indiana, Illinois, West Kentucky, this kind of area, with Evansville kind of being moving south. And the statistics they found were really not that surprising, but they weren't that encouraging about how many churches in our area that do not have elderships. I think it was a below 50% or right around that 50% number that do not have elderships. So many of our congregations, and some of the broader statistics I've seen in Churches of Christ is across our nation, is that more than half, over half of our congregations do not have elderships. Many of them, of course, are very small congregations, numbering somewhere between 20 and 75 people. There's a lack of leadership. When we think about the role of men, it's a significant issue in the church because there's a lack of leadership, and we need more elders. We need more deacons, and we need more ministers. Of course, it's no secret that we ourselves searched for a youth minister for a couple years. And we saw that there was a lack of ministers wanting to get into that, a lack of quality candidates interested in doing that and wanting to serve in that capacity. It's also the same when we talk about a shortage of preachers, a shortage of missionaries. There's a lack of people that want to dedicate their life to preaching the gospel and to teaching the gospel. It's the role of men. God has called men, as we'll study, to be the preachers, to stand up, as we studied last week, and proclaim God's word. But yet we see a lack of men being willing to do that today. We also should consider that there's a lack of involvement often. You've probably heard, about everybody has experienced this at some point at a different level. You're off traveling, and you go into a congregation, and you find it's a real small congregation, maybe it's out west, and you realize that it's all women. Heard about different ones that have gone in, and they've had to do it all, or the preacher maybe is there, and maybe one other man, and they do it all. I mean, he's doing communion, he's leading singing, he's preaching. One man, two men, doing it all. Have you ever heard of a church where you go into a church and it was 10 men and no women? Never heard of that, have you? We think about the women being faithful. In just about any congregation, there are more women than there are men, aren't there? In just about any congregation, there is more involvement on the day-to-day activities of the church, and even in volunteering with ministries of the church, with women than there are men. It's a significant issue in the church of the lack of involvement of men in the church. And this is not just Seven Oaks, and I'm talking about, obviously, in all three of these points, talking about the church and the overall emphasis that we need to see in our culture and that we're seeing in our culture. Why is this the case? Why is there a lack of leadership? Why are there a lack of ministers? Why is there a lack of involvement by men? Well, I think we must say that it gets back to there is apathy. There's not a priority. Men often are involved in their hobbies. Men are involved with their work. Men are involved in all their sports and other activities that they have going on, hunting or sports or whatever they have. And there's an apathy when it comes to the church, which means that there is a lack of convictions. If we are apathetic about anything, it means that we are not convicted in that area. But if we're not convicted, then that causes us to be apathetic. And so we need to examine our convictions. Because if we are convicted and if we believe in the cross, and we believe in the priority of the church, and we believe the mission and ministry of the church is the most important mission and ministry in the world, then we will not be apathetic toward it. And so it's a significant issue in the church, as we talked about last week, going on with the changes in the role of women. But let me also say it's a significant issue in the church, maybe not a new one, maybe one that's been around for centuries, with the lack of involvement, the lack of leadership, and the lack of ministers going into the work by men. In the book of Judges, Israel was going through a time of great sin, and Deborah was the only female judge. And Barak, who was the leader of Israel at the time, came to her and had been commanded, the Bible says, by God to go into battle. But he was fearful to go into battle. And Deborah says, I'll go with you, but you will not receive the glory. A woman will receive the glory. Deborah did not receive the glory, but another woman did. And then in the song of praise, Deborah says this, when the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Deborah sang, when the men, some versions translate, when the princes take the lead, they do what God wants. When the people voluntarily offer themselves, then praise the Lord. During the days of Judges, the people were going through a time of depravity, a time of sin. And the men were not leading as they should lead. And Deborah said, I don't even really need to be doing this, but if you need me to, I'll go. But the men should be doing it. And she said that when they do that, the Lord will be praised. What is the role of men in the church? Well, let's notice from 1 Timothy chapter 2 again, the role of men in the church. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, I desire that in every place the men should pray. I pointed out last week that that is a gender-specific term in the Greek. It's not a generic use for mankind or for people, but it is males. I desire that males should pray. Once again, we're talking about 1 Timothy 2, how to conduct church business. How things should be done in the pillar and ground of the truth, the church. He says, I desire that men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Notice in the first place that men in the church are to lead worship. Last week we observed that ladies are not to take a part in the public leading of worship, as we'll observe further in this passage. But notice men are to lead. We are to pray. We need to understand that what Paul's talking about is that when the church comes together, when Christians are together in our classes, or it doesn't have to be in this building, but when the church is together, when Christians are together, that men are the ones who, that collective group, lead in talking to God. Prayer and worship is when we talk to God. And God says when a group of Christians are gathered, then I desire that the men lead that prayer. It's important for us as men to realize that prayer is not just for the women, but we should be men of prayer. We should be men who realize that we must need and depend upon our God in heaven. And that prayer does not make us weak, but prayer makes us strong. And that we should develop in our homes, as well as for the church, the ability to lead a public prayer for those we are with. And so we should make it our aspiration. If we feel like we're not good at that, to develop that skill, that when our family is gathered around the table, that we say, let's bow our head and pray to God. When our family is going through a problem, that we can lead our family in prayer. That when we are tucking our kids in bed, we can lead our children in prayer. And that we can, when called upon by the church, and when the church needs men to pray, that we are willing and able to pray. The role of the men in the church is to pray. To pray. Now that sounds simplistic, but God pointed that out in Holy Scripture because it is important, men. Do not neglect the value of prayer and the importance of leading people in prayer. You are leading the minds of whomever is in your audience. You are taking their mind before the holy throne of God. And your prayers, as Jesus points out in the Sermon on the Mount, should never be about vain repetitions, or should never be about your own glory, but they're about a humble desire to petition our Father for our needs. When the church gathers, the men pray. But notice, we also understand that men are to teach. In chapter 2, verse 11, let the women learn quietly with all submissiveness. For I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. Notice, we observed these verses last week in perspective of women. This week, let's observe them in perspective of men. If the women cannot speak in church in a corporate assembly, and they are to learn quietly, and they're not permitted to teach or to have authority over a man, then what does it say about the men? Men are to be the teachers. Men are the ones who are called upon by God to proclaim the Word of God, to be the preacher, to be the teacher. This is why in our mixed adult Bible classes or teen classes, that men are the ones who are teaching those classes. This is why, as well, in Ephesians or 1 Timothy chapter 3, that he goes on and talks that an elder is one who is able to teach. Because elders are involved in teaching by personal conversations, by being able to explain the Word of God, by being able to exhort and teach the church. He also will point out in chapter 4, verse number 11 of this same passage, to the young Timothy, command and teach these things. Teach these things. In chapter 6, verse 2, those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and beloved. Teach and urge these things. Timothy was called upon to teach and urge these things about masters and those in the church. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. Train faithful men who will be able to teach others also. It is our responsibility as men to teach. Now we need to understand this involves certainly teaching in our homes as well. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, bring up your children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, bring up your children. Yes, there is a role for women to teach. And certainly we understand that women are going to teach children and are taught in the Bible to teach children. And women have the responsibility of teaching other women. And we can learn from women like a husband learning from his wife. But we need to understand in the church, it is the responsibility of men to teach. That means us men have to study. That's why Paul told Timothy in this same epistle in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We've got to know the Bible. Men, don't always depend upon your wife to know the Bible better than you. Don't view Scripture or Bible study as something just for the ladies. God expects men to know and love His Word because He's put it upon us to teach His Word. But then notice, Paul would also say, in this same context, chapter 2, 11 through 12, if women are not to have authority over a man, then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 12, then that would also mean that men are to exercise authority. They are to lead. That's why in chapter 3, verse number 1, if anyone desires to the office of an overseer, notice one of the three terms for an elder is that of an overseer. An overseer is one who has authority. Elders have authority in the church. We also see in chapter 3, verse 1, elders have authority. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, that men are the head of the wife, and each man has Christ as his head. In the church, there is male spiritual leadership. In the home, Ephesians chapter 5, 23 through 25, there is to be male spiritual leadership in the home. As the husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Men, we have the responsibility of leading, of having authority. That's not an authority that should ever be abused. It's not an authority that should ever be held in a domineering, lording fashion, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5. It's not an authority that should ever be used in a greedy, abusive way. It is an authority that should be humbly received and stepped into as been given by the divine prerogative of God. It's not an authority given to us because we are better or are more pure in our sinlessness. No, men are sinful and we fall short of the glory of God. We are saved by the blood of Christ, just like women are saved by the blood of Christ. But it is an authority that has been given to us and must be, we must live that out in the church. We must take hold of it, not neglect it. And number four, when it comes to the role of men in the church, 1 Timothy chapter 6, 11 through 16, Paul says to Timothy in verse 11, "But as for you, O man of God," once again, old man, a male. Not that women are not supposed to do some of these things, but Paul is calling on the men to flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life, to which you were called, a bit about which you made the good confession. Men are to be spiritual, holy men of God. We must not allow our culture to dictate the idea that spirituality is a feminine virtue. Spirituality is to be something that is for all humans, men and women. Once again, there is no weakness in needing Christ, but rather we find our strength through Christ. There is no weakness in wanting to understand that our job as a man of God is to flee sin, to take no part in the dirty jokes that are circulated at work, to have no part in much of the lustful, illicit things that go on in the media and in the entertainment industry, or in our world today, but that a man is wanting to be a holy man of God who stands up for his convictions and is dedicated to the mission of the church and to the cause of Christ. A man of God is one who is holy, who is spiritual, who is leading the good fight of faith. When the Bible talks about the role of men, it is always in the context that he is to be the one who is the fighter. He is the defender. If your home is under attack, it's the man's job to be willing to protect his home. Notice, as the church fights Satan, as our homes fight Satan, as we are fighting Satan, it's up to men to take the lead in fighting the good fight of faith. It is a courageous pursuit. It is not in any way a feminine pursuit to be spiritual and dedicated to the church with all your being. It is rather a most holy and courageous pursuit that has been aspired to by the most manly of men throughout the centuries. And so if you want to be a real man, and if you want to be a real man who fights the real fight, then you fight the good fight of faith. You see, what's the role of men? It is to protect, it is to fight, and it is to lead the army of God in the war against Satan. What's the role of men in the church? It is when Christians gather to lead worship, to teach and exhort the church, to have authority and lead the church, and to be a spiritual holy man of God. So let me say, last week we concluded that God says it's wrong for women to lead in public worship and in the church. Thus, let me say this, it is wrong for men not to lead. In other words, we are abdicating, we are giving up our role that God has consigned to us and required of us if we fail to lead. And so as we think about that, my willingness as a man to be involved shows the value I place on the church, upon the cross, and upon the future. Remember what I said to start this lesson? The apathy is caused by lack of conviction. If I am apathetic, sometimes I can be. When I am apathetic, it is because my convictions have grown cold. It is because I am discouraged. It is because I am frustrated. It is because I am focused on worldly pursuits and I'm not focused on the convictions that God has put in His Word. My apathy says something about what I believe about the mission of the church, what I believe about the cross, and what I believe about the future. Men, if you're apathetic about your role in the church, it is a reflection about what you believe about the church, the mission of the church, what you believe about the cross, and what you believe about the necessity of the future and the leadership of the future. And so, we need to shore up our convictions. We need to understand what we believe and why we believe it. In this thought, my leadership abilities and skills must be cultivated then through the power of Christ. It's easy for you as men, for us to think about, well, I'm not good at doing some of these things. I don't feel like I'm a very good leader. I don't feel like I'm a very capable person to lead a public prayer or to teach a lesson or whatever it is you felt like I'm saying you should be doing. Let me say this. Most of the men who are doing those things now did not feel like they were capable or able to do that in previous times. You cultivate that. You develop that. That's why the Bible says, in talking about the role of an elder, that you aspire to it. You start developing it. And I think about 2 Timothy chapter 1 here. Paul tells Timothy, for this reason I remind you, and he's talking about miraculous, I believe, but it applies in a non-miraculous sense, to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. We got a lot of men at Seven Oaks. You got to get the fan out. You got to start fanning into flame. You got to start working on whatever your gifts are, whatever your talents are. You got to start cultivating them. And over the years, those same gifts will increase. If you want to lead public prayer, probably Sunday morning's not the first time you need to be doing it. Start out praying with your children. Start out praying in your home before a meal. Start out praying in a Bible class. Start out praying on a Wednesday night. You begin to grow and cultivate that in an intentional way. You develop those skills over time. Whatever it is. If you want to teach a Bible class, Joel just talked about this morning, we need elementary teachers. If you say, I don't feel comfortable teaching an adult class, but I think I could do a 5th and 6th grade class. I think I could do a 7th and 8th grade class. You see, cultivate those skills, fan into flame those skills. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear. Notice that. He gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We cultivate this through the power of Christ. You cannot do it. Nothing really happens until you step out on faith and you realize that God can do it through you. The story of Moses. When Moses made all those excuses when God called him to lead and God said, what is that in your hand? What's in your hand? What can you do to offer that contribution to the church? What is in your hand? And we think about the parable of the talents. The only one who was in trouble was the one talent man who buried his talent. Don't bury your talent. Fan it into flame. God doesn't expect you to do someone else's talent. He expects you to do the best you have with your talent. Fan it into flame. This morning, if you're not a Christian and you haven't put Christ on in baptism, let me encourage you to seriously consider that. If you're a man and you've neglected that because you feel like in many ways, for whatever reason, you've made excuses and you've allowed the pursuits of the world to keep you away from Christ, let me encourage you to determine to become a man of God and to pursue righteousness. You can begin that journey through confession of Christ, through being buried with Christ in baptism to have your sins washed away. If you need to come back and rededicate your life, come as together we stand and as we sing.
Have you been to...